Medical information obtained from our website or on the live show is not intended to be a substitute for professional care. If you have, or you suspect you might, have an illness or other medical condition, you should consult a healthcare provider. The opinions expressed on this radio program are not necessarily those of the sports doctor, this radio show, or their sponsors.
Hey, everybody. Welcome live from Chicago. It's the Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist. All things sports medicine, fitness, and wellness. Brought to you by Global Schoolwear. School uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger. Lower Extremity and MVP Parent Magazines. And UK Health Radio. We've got a great doubleheader. Dr. Annie White, PhD in traditional Chinese medicine. She's the author of The Calm Code. Will be joining me along with Dr. Terry Zachary, chiropractic physician, a former pro golfer, hand and wrist specialist. He's the author of Great Hands, Great Life. Then we got some Bob Guide of Wisdom, your emails. First, Dr. Annie White, welcome to the Sports Doctor.
Well, thank you. Thanks for having me. I'm happy to be here.
Give us some background on yourself leading up to this whole strong philosophy of the calm code and the things that you're talking about on brain science.
Well, I was seeing patients in my office, and every one of them that was coming in to see me had either, you know, a base in stress or stress was making things worse. So I thought to myself, if I don't solve their high stress levels, nobody's ever going to be happy or healthy, which caused me to do a deep dive into the science of the brain, how it all works, because I'm trained to solve the root cause of things. And once I found neuroplasticity, which states that every thought, action, and emotion trains our mind along the corresponding pathways, it makes it stronger, it all made sense to me. Every stressful thought we were thinking or that we are thinking strengthens those corresponding pathways in our mind. So after a period of time, if you've, you know, such as a pandemic, if you've been thinking stressful thoughts, you have actually increased those number of pathways in your mind and made them stronger.
I think that's one of the things that I've been talking about, Dr. Annie, on the Sports Doctor for 25 years, give or take a few weeks. I call it the mental game, whether you're the best athlete in the world, whether you're their coach, whether you're their parent, or whether you're trying to stick with your exercise program, whether you're trying to stick with the weight loss, et cetera, whether, et cetera, et cetera. Everything's got a huge mental component. And what's interesting, Dr. Annie, is that over the time of the pandemic, no matter where my guest was from, no matter what their vocation or profession was, mental health was upfront and personal in such importance. And the fact that the awareness that you could train these systems, that you could pay attention to improving these other areas is a big deal, isn't it?
It's a huge deal. And I think awareness is a key word. I love that you said that word, because when we're aware of how these thoughts are affecting us, then we know we have a choice in the matter. And a lot of people don't understand that. And that's okay, because we were never taught any of this. But that doesn't mean it isn't true. And so many scientific studies from the pandemic showed that not only did that high stress make anxiety and depression worse, it actually also caused it.
See, that's an interesting connection. Of course, if you throw in social media, then we multiply everything times 340. We're talking about the kind of stress. And to me, on the Sports Doctor, when I talk about the new medicine, it has three components. One is eat smarter, and two is keep moving, and three is reduce stress and pay attention to stress and what a big deal it is. You know, 20, 25 years ago, there wasn't many sports teams, for example, that paid any attention to the real mental side. Now there's not a serious sports team that doesn't pay huge attention. But again, with all the improvement I think we've made and all this awareness and education, sometimes experts like yourself bring me down the reality that we're still treading water, right?
We're still working on it, which is why I was I really wanted to put a step-by-step method together that people could follow and exercises they could actually use. I mean, we hear these words like mindfulness. We hear words like do some meditation or do some yoga. But it's rare that you find a step-by-step process that's based on science that can actually do this training in our mind for us, you know?
Great title, The Calm Code. Again, everybody, you hear that word, and it relaxes you when you think about it, you know, in so many different ways. And again, it becomes so important. I had great figure skaters over the years. They did visualization 10, 20 years ago. And again, most of sports thought it was voodoo. And again, all complementary medicine, like Chinese medicine, acupuncture, energy has really helped regular medicine and our education system here to I think become much, much more aware of the importance. Have you found that the medical profession, the school systems, the park districts, et cetera, are paying a lot more attention?
I think they are because I think they have to.
Great point.
Right, because there has been such an uptick, and I don't know if it's in incidence or honesty, but people are feeling safer to come forward and say how they're really feeling. Say that they're having, you know, some depression or some anxiety or some very high stress that's affecting their lives.
The highest athletes in the world, whether it was Simone Biles in the Olympics in Beijing or whether it was Michael Phelps, with all his swimming, who actually started an online, you know, it's okay to not be okay, self-help, et cetera, I want to talk to you more about all of that. Everybody listening to The Sports Doctor, I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist. If you go to my website, sportsdoctorradio.com, if you go over radio shows, you go back years, who was on, international guests, national guests, local guests, all sorts of different topics, listen to whatever you'd like. You go over to newspaper articles, magazines, lots of great articles on everything from what's the best shoe to wear to the world of concussions to the whole challenge of specialization. A lot of excitement with MVP Parent and Lower Extremity Review magazines. We have thousands of followers. I can't tell you how many guests I get from Twitter and or LinkedIn. And if you want to chime in, lots of good sports medicine information. If you go to sports at Sports Doc Radio, jump on Twitter. We're talking the calm lady, Dr. Annie White. What are some of the bullet points, Annie, that you feel are part of this step-by-step program based, again, on the brain science and all this other work you've been doing?
Well, the first one is one that I told you earlier that I love, is that the power is in our hands. I got to a point where I myself, and I was supposed to know all of this stuff, but I went through a really stressful couple of years. This is before the pandemic. And I actually witnessed my mind get wired. Now, I wasn't conscious of it when it was happening. But after that happened, I got to see then how these other things worked. So the second bullet point would be you can utilize science-based exercises. So there have been studies done on, you brought it up earlier, visualization is a great way to be able to train your mind to be calmer and happier. So it are pictures, looking at pictures of nature, looking at pictures of what make you happy. Gratitude is another one. Gratitude is said to make, and studies have said this, is said to make people 25% happier. Why? Every grateful thought trained their mind to be happier, just like all of the stressful thoughts during the pandemic trained people to be more stressed or anxious or depressed. Does that make sense?
I think it absolutely does. And I think everybody can empathize with that. It's, of course, it's always so much easier said than done. We've all seen this. The difficulty, but so that's why I like that first bullet point that we both agree with, that the awareness and then the education on being able to come up with some specific things that you could do about it. What's the best site, Dr. Annie, people can find out about you and the book? in your work?
The best one is D-O-C-T-O-R, Annie, A-N-N-I-E, white.com. And that'll talk a bit about neuroplasticity, which is what I talked about before. And I know that's, you know, everybody's probably saying, oh, that's a bunch of science mumbo jumbo. But the reason that it's not is because if you get your mind around this, literally, it can change your life.
Big time. And I think this neuroplasticity, this big, big point you're making, which is, again, there's a cumulative effect to, again, whether you're on the positive side of things, the gratitude side, the awareness side, the education side, or you're on the negative and the anxiety and the depression side, that you're actually reinforcing these feelings, I think is a very important point that people could understand that, you know, there's some habit forming involved with this. And again, these points are at the highest level many times of sports performance and recovery, aren't they?
Absolutely. And I love the visualization aspect because so many excellent sports figures have used visualization for a long time. Tom Brady, Pele, who was a famous soccer player, have used visualization to great effect. And what I would love to do is add something onto the visualization techniques. And that is, throw in the positive emotions that you will feel when you're imagining throwing that touchdown, when you're imagining that crowd screaming.
Adding the emotional side is was always a famous Tony Robbins point. When you add the emotional side, you change your body's physiology. It makes a big difference. So if you're visualizing, feeling better, feeling healthier, maybe exercising, doing whatever you're doing at a better level, you're including the emotion that might go along with it, right?
100%. And every time you do that, you're training your mind to be calmer and happier. You are strengthening the pathways that correspond with those positive emotions.
Are you a meditation fan? Do you find that some aspect of meditation, I've always been a huge fan, in some way, shape, or form, again, you know, that people should be educated as part of this whole program?
I love it. I love meditation, but I also understand that it can be hard to start or it can be hard to do when you are really stressed out or anxious or depressed. So what I say to people, if they're just starting out or if they're in a tough spot, just do a short guided meditation. And guided meditation has actually been shown in studies to be just as effective as, you know, emptying your mind, or there are so many different types of meditations that that are out there for people. I mean, there are even meditations for toothbrushing on the internet. But if somebody can spend 3 minutes or 5 minutes just doing a guided meditation, it can be so beneficial, and it's a great place to start.
Now, again, when you're talking about this ability as part of that code, the calm code, the whole idea, again, with some real brain science behind it and some understanding, and somebody says, How much time are we talking about? Are we saying pay 15, 20 minutes a day on the calm code, and that's plenty if you just do it and you're consistent?
I love that question because it's such a good question. So I take people through a six-week process. They start with 3 minutes twice a day. We work up to 8 minutes twice a day. And at the end of 6 weeks, people will see a difference. They might need to continue based on where their brain is when they start. You know, if they've had 6 positive thoughts since they were a little kid, they might have a further way to go, but they will start feeling better. But like you said, if you spend 16 minutes a day, you are going to see massive changes, which is exciting, you know?
The psychology world, the psychiatry world, tremendous reliance, the challenge of our youngsters, whether it's the area of youth sports or whether it's just surviving in this crazy world with these kids and all of these tremendous challenges with technology just overwhelming everybody. Have the school systems paid attention to finally somehow, are they listening, begin to integrate a lot of these points into early education?
I don't know the definitive answer to that question. I think it's at the
still
very
working
early
it, man. Still
stages.
Working it.
Yeah.
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 Working
but
it.
I think it would be a key core curriculum, you know, because that's just as important in life as all of, you know, as knowing how to add 4 + 4.
Well, speaking of adding
people might argue.
Yes, well, the numerous guests, Teresa Power, who created really children's yoga, Kids Yoga Day internationally. And again, one of the biggest points of adding it very early was not only the exercise part, which was so crucial, but she was also talking so much about the mental, the whole mind-body connection. No one knew how to spell that, 15, 20 years ago. It's gotten much, much more attention. Do you find the medical world also paying much more attention to really paying attention to, let's call it the calm code?
I do. I think the medical world is seeing that we are one organism. So you can't separate the mind from the body because it's all integrated. It's all one. It's one system.
You know, and on that note, Annie, I'll tell you, I knew the time would fly. On that note, we're running out of time, so I'm going to ask you, give me again the website that people could find out about you, your work, the book.
Sure. It's DrAnnieWhite.com.
DrAnnieWhite.com. Calm lady. The calm code is the title of the book. Thank you so much for joining me. Hold on, Annie. We'll be right back, everybody. It's the Sports Doctor. Hey, everybody, it's Dr. Bob Weil, a sports doctor. I'm excited to announce the release of my new book, co-written with Sharky Zartman, hashtag Hey Sports Parents, an essential guide for any parent with a child in sports. You know, Sharky is a former Hall of Fame volleyball player. She's the mom of two daughters who became Division I volleyball players. Together, we have over 70 years of combined youth sports experience. The goal of the book? Give you the essential tools and guidance to make your experience as a sports parent the best it could be. Hashtag Hey Sports Parents is divided into four sections. The first section, Sports Parenting 101. Sharky talks everything about parenting, about coaching, that whole interaction between parents and coaches, coaching your own kid. What are the things to really pay attention to? The second section is the Sports Doctor's In, yours truly. My discussion of injury prevention and treatment, choosing the best shoes, youth sports and drugs, essential exercises, the dilemma of youth football, orthotics. Third section, experts speak out. We bring together 8 different experts in nutrition and sports performance and mental training in all aspects of coaching in that section. The last section is the parents' perspective, some insights from about a half a dozen parents of athletes. So everyone, hey, get out your megaphone, spread the word. Now available on Amazon. Order now. You'll be more confident. So will your young athlete. Hashtag, hey sports parents. Hey everybody, Dr. Bob here. LER, Lower Extremity Review Magazine, is celebrating their 10th anniversary. It's been a decade of providing key clinical and practical information about concerns, conditions, and treatment solutions for the lower extremity, both sports and non-sports alike. LER is the only multidisciplinary publication for doctors of all specialties, educators, therapists, and trainers. They inform practitioners on current developments in the diagnosis, treatment, and prevention of lower extremity injuries. LER prides itself on editorial integrity and evidence-based content. Their tagline, collaborative care for better outcomes, says it all. Hey, colleagues, go to lermagazine.com. Hey, everybody, live in Chicago. We are back. day after my birthday. I'm still celebrating. I want to welcome Dr. Terry Zachary. He's a chiropractic physician. He's a former pro golfer. And he's a hand and wrist specialist. He's the author of Great Hands, Great Life. You know, is there a sport where the hands and wrists aren't involved? Can't think of any. Dr. Terry, welcome to the Sports Doctor.
Hey, Dr. Bob. Thanks for having me, and happy belated birthday.
Great. Thank you. Give us some background on yourself quickly and everything leading up to all this attention to hands and wrists.
Well, Dr. Bob, I was a sports chiropractor, fully in practice. Practice was going well, and I always had this dream. I played college golf. And I wanted to take a run while I was young enough at that point to try to make the PGA Tour. It was always a dream of mine. And it took a few years off of practice. To your listeners, spoiler alert, I did not make the PGA Tour. But what did happen is that on tour, I was just exposed to dozens and dozens of repetitive grip injuries. So the players, you know, are obviously practicing all day. They're playing. Completely repetitive gripping, and a lot of them are also taking an exercise tool where they repetitively grip more. And I was recognizing so many finger and thumb and hand and carpal tunnel and elbow problems, and the players would come to me asking about it. And I was able to quite easily identify that, hey, you're not strengthening the muscles that open the hand, we're only strengthening the muscles that close the hand, and that imbalance is just all over the place in grip sports, and as I found out, all over the place, but golf especially.
You know, it's interesting. My longtime, the late Bob Guider, the great sports therapist, I spent like four decades with this guy. Whatever sport he was dealing with, he always said, train the opposites. Strengthen the brakes. You just, you know, you hit it, man. You know, all the muscles in one direction, not necessarily in the other. And chiropractic medicine, hands-on, was always one of the professions that was able to pay attention. One of the first physical therapists of the PGA Tour, a colleague of mine, Paul Calloway, again, would talk about all of these repetitive motion injuries, and hands and wrists were such... Well, was this a big revelation to the sport of golf that you had to pay much more attention to this? Was it a surprise to everybody or not?
No, it absolutely was a surprise. You know, I'd interview right. these players. I would ask them what they do, and they'd say, "Yeah, we take something and squeeze it." But then I would ask them the question, Dr. Bob, like, "What do you do to strengthen the muscles that open and spread the hand?" And they looked at me like I had basically changed languages. I would have to tell them basically, you know, there's nine muscles that close the hand, there's nine muscles that open the hand, and once you learn that, you'll never do hand exercise wrong again. And that's when they would change and see great results.
Now, again, if we're picturing a tennis player holding on to a racket, if I'm picturing a baseball player swinging a bat, if I'm thinking about that football quarterback or player holding on to the ball and, you know, zipping those passes, et cetera, even the swimmer in the pool, again, the strength of these areas and having so much to do with all the other parts of the body, I think is interesting. Probably in, you know, again, in the medical profession or in the high-performance profession, I remember Guider used to have these athletes with the rubber bands attached to their fingers, and yep. He would have them doing all of these different ranges of motion. I think he was, you know, 20 years ahead of his time. He paid the same attention to the foot, which is why Dr. Bob and him got involved again all those years ago, these intrinsic muscles. Of course, in everyday life, carpal tunnel, such a big deal, it's become such a common problem, hasn't it?
Well, it really has, you know, and even getting back to what you were saying about we grip a football, we grip a golf club, a tennis racket, et cetera, et cetera. You think about those also, Dr. Bob, as you think about what these athletes, men and women, are doing away from, you know, they're training the shoulders and the arms, and they're always repetitive gripping in their training and then in their application. And in a lot of these situations, when you're talking about carpal tunnel syndrome specifically, we've got to learn how to take care of the carpal tunnel itself, and we just to this day don't understand that the small muscles that close the hand actually originate on the carpal tunnel. And the more we're closing and doing small stuff with our hands in sports, but also in hobby and in music and gaming and just holding our cell phones, et cetera, we are shortening and we're kind of closing down the shape of that carpal tunnel. So all of these hand muscles are just really intrinsic to a lot of the repetitive grip problems that we see in a lot of these conditions that we commonly talk about, like carpal tunnel syndrome. Absolutely.
It's interesting, right? When you're in the gym, almost everything you're doing, you're gripping something.
Absolutely.
So again, you're contributing to one of the sports doctor's favorite words, which is called overuse or repetitive motion. You know, again, we're picturing that tennis player swinging the racket 1,000 times a week and someone saying, hey, you better strengthen those muscles that are slowing you down and keeping you, in stability. So I would imagine that this has made a big difference in all sports at all sorts of different levels in that regard, that the medical profession is paying a lot more attention than they did. When was this something you were paying big attention to, and when you were after gout that you started paying being a hand wrist specialist? How long has that been, Terry?
Well, Dr. Bob, it was the late 90s that I played golf. And before that, I was similar to your friend, is that I had multiple exercises with elastic bands. And I would show that to my patients before I went out and tried to play professional golf. So once I got out there and was playing and saw how common these imbalances were, that's when I started to really look at it and say, we've got to find a solution to this. Because the players really wouldn't remember the 5 and 6 exercises I would give them. And they really didn't have enough time to do them all the time. So, you know, I really got on it and said, is there any way I can figure this out? And we developed a product where now all of a sudden you can just close your hand and open and spread your hand. And it trains all the muscles. And then when we started using that with our golfers and other athletes, eventually after my golf career was kind of done, then we started to see results just instantly. And as you would know, it's just that very simple concept of looking at how, you know, the muscles around the joints and the muscles that control these structures, how they move, and we provide resistance to them through a full range of motion. But now we could do closing and opening and spreading without having to load elastic bands and et cetera, et cetera. So we made it super easy. And we made the function properly, and we just saw results just right away.
What's the best website people can get information about you and the book that I want to ask you about in a minute, but about this whole world you're in? What's the best place to go to get more information?
Yeah, so you can the viewers can go to Handmaster Plus. That's where the product that we developed is available, and we have we now work with athletes and musicians and just anything that you can think of with grip. The book is called Great Hands, Great Life. I heard you mention it earlier, and it's available online. Usually at Amazon is the best place to go to find that.
What's the piece of apparatus you're talking about that you're doing exercises with? If you were describing it, its function, is it a glove apparatus? What are we talking about?
So let me explain it a little bit, Dr. Bob. So it's called Handmaster Plus, and really simply, I mean, most people would know the old, like a racquetball or a tennis ball, and that's what most of what I grew up thinking was exercise. So basically, Handmaster Plus is a custom-shaped ball that you will squeeze against. But through that ball, there is custom elastomer cord that hooks onto your thumbs and hooks onto your fingers. So really what the exercise does, it allows the motion of the natural motion of your hand to dictate the exercise. And the Handmaster Plus simply resists as your body or as your hand closes naturally and then opens and spreads naturally. So really, you know, when you think about the old coiled units and spring-loaded units, they tell your body how to move, and that's just not natural. So Handmaster Plus is basically a ball with an elastic cord that goes through it, and as your hand moves naturally, the ball and the cord just resist the muscles, so you strengthen
right,
all
that's
muscles.
That's interesting. One of my favorite pieces of equipment, Dr. Terry, is called the Sand Dune Stepper, sand dune stepper simulates the sand for gripping with your feet, whether you're running, whether you're moving, and being able to use all of these small little muscles, again, and gripping with your toes. Imagine walking on the beach. Everybody knows, wow, man, that's work. And the idea of using these special substances to cause a rebounding effect, the effect of the eccentric and the stabilizers. And it sounds like this is what this ball you're talking about really does. Besides just demand gripping, it also really demands that whole range of motion in both directions.
Yeah, no, it's exactly what you're talking about. And this with your feet. You know, we're not born with shoes on, and all of a sudden we put these rubber shoes on, and we our feet are passive, and we don't have to grip. And it's the exact same thing. Is we're looking at how these muscles are positioned on your hand and your wrist and your forearm and your carpal tunnel and your elbow, and they affect so many areas and so many structures. So simply what we do is allow those muscles to go through their full natural range of motion, and you get 9 muscles to close the hand, 9 muscles open the hand. All you're doing is closing and opening and spread exactly how the muscle of the body's designed.
So how much time is somebody spending, if you said again, you know, this particular athlete, he's working with that ball a couple times a day, once a day, 10, 15 minutes, just in general, what type of inclusion into the workout, or would he walk around with the ball while he's walking through the gym?
Yeah, you can do it. Basically, it's easy to do. It's portable, so you're spending, we suggest athletes work on it one to three times per day until a comfortable fatigue. And even the people that have used the exercise for years would be doing that for maybe a minute and a half, maybe 2 minutes.
Now, can you measure the difference, for example, in somebody's grip strength, both before, including if they have symptoms, and compared to after they've gone through this type of exercise? Well, wow, man, you've increased your grip strength by 20%, 10%. Is that measurable?
It's absolutely measurable, and it's a great question because you can use, as you've probably worked with dynamometers to measure grip strength. And what happens actually is in the old days of grabbing something and squeezing it, your grip strength does go up, Dr. Bob, to a point where that imbalance kicks in, and then it kind of plateaus, and then it actually can start going down and you can get injuries. But when we use our product, because we strengthen the muscles that open the hand, which are stabilizer muscles for grip, you're going to see that grip continues to stay high. It doesn't plateau and go down. So that's a key measurement, is once we do the grip mechanics properly, closing and opening, we strengthen the stabilizer extensor muscles. And, yeah, absolutely, we keep that grip strong.
Yeah, what about, again, the wrists, the forearms, how far up the chain from the hand do we find these kinds of hand exercises affect? I would imagine it's got elbow and other areas.
All the way up to the elbow, Dr. Bob, and that's how far-reaching those hand muscles are, right? So those 9 muscles that close the hand and open the hand, they reach from the fingertips all the way to the elbow. So when we have an imbalance on that, that's where you see, you're going to see a lot of tennis elbow, golfer's elbow problems, wrist problems. When we have it right, we see performance just go, performance is free. Strong and it's balanced.
Talk more about it. We're talking Dr. Terry Zachary, sports chiropractic, hands, wrists. Be right back. It's Sports Doc. Hey, everybody. MVP Parent Magazine is special. Evidence-based topics on all areas of youth sports. Rich Dubin, a sports dad himself, takes his 3 decades of publishing. He just celebrated the 12th anniversary of the acclaimed LER, Lower Extremity Review magazine, one of Sports Doctor's key supporters, and he pours it into MVP Parent. Factual evidence-based info on such key topics like physical and mental training, nutrition, injury awareness, treatment, recovery, and prevention. I am proud to be a contributor to MVP Parent with the Sports Doctor is In article in each issue. Go to MVPParent.com. MVPParent.com. Hey, it's Dr. Bob. School Uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger is setting a new standard within the school uniform market. More schools are understanding the value that uniforms provide, school pride and identification being one of them.
Another is the well-recognized reduction of student pressure to keep up with classmates in the real world of what to wear each day to school. School Uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger provides amazing quality and value to its partner schools and families. It is truly the first brand in this market that students are excited about wearing. Go to the website, globalschoolwear.com. Globalschoolwear.com. Hey, everybody, live from Chicago. We are back. It's the Sports Doctor. We're talking with Dr. Terry Zachary. He's a chiropractic physician, former pro golfer, and a hand and wrist specialist, inventor of a particular piece of equipment to strengthen these all-important areas in sports and not. We were talking before the break about some of the different athletes in sports who are paying attention to including this. I would imagine every pitcher should be paying big attention to this kind of strengthening. Are they?
Yeah, no, they're starting to, and that's what I would say. I think it's largely been ignored, and I know with your background you'll understand that, and that's an excellent question, is that we really worry about any kind of throwing. So pitchers, football quarterbacks, javelin throwers, if you're always repetitive gripping, those muscles that actually are in the back when you release the throw, those muscles generally don't have great blood flow, and they're generally shortened because the muscles that extend the hand have never been worked through a full range of motion. So that imbalance absolutely puts pressure at the inside of the elbow on a throw, but also on the outside of the elbow on a follow through. So, you know, it's one of those areas that if you exercise the hands and the wrists properly, you're going to see the elbows are just included in that balance and really good health
well,
and blood
you know,
flow.
I have so many orthopedists on, Dr. Ahmad, the team doctor of the Yankees, Dr. Cole, team doctor Bulls and White Sox, admitting Tommy John surgery on 14-year-olds, on 15-year-olds. Yep. Too much throwing. And again, lack of the important, probably proactive strengthening. I would imagine, again, on a football team, when you're talking about the art of trying to cause a turnover, right? And you want to work these guys to hold on to that ball or whatever, you would think that would be a huge area for this type of strengthening. The key is awareness, isn't it? It's awareness and education of the fact that how important the area is and what a difference it could make routinely. I would imagine athletic trainers are a big part of that education.
Yeah, no, absolutely, and you hit on the word that we work with all the time. It's just straight education. A lot of these athletic trainers, we work with athletic trainers in all the major professional sports, and the big thing to get into their fitness rooms and into their treatment rooms is them understanding. They're very busy people, so for them to understand the details of the hand muscles and the grip and the chain of grip and how it works and how to train it properly. Once they do and they accept it, we start to see great things right away. So we've had a really good uptake from the athletic trainers, and they're quite easy to, because they're familiar with the anatomy and the function. The uptake is really good, and then the athletes can performance goes up right off the bat when they have their grip strong and balanced.
Yeah, the idea again, the reason we co-authored the book hashtag Hey Sports Parents. Is the epidemic, all in capital letters, everybody, of youth sports overuse injuries. And a lot of it is upper extremity. And plenty of it, again, is hand, wrists, forearms, overuse, elbows, et cetera. And this is why it's so important to include this type of education and awareness, because there's two things everybody cares about, whether you're the coach, the athlete, the parents. Number one, can I prevent injuries? Can I stay out of trouble? Whether it's the feet and ankles or whether it's your hands and wrists. And number two is, can I enhance performance? Can I throw harder? You know, it's the idea of these pitchers, 10, 20 years ago, there was two guys in the league who threw 95 miles an hour. Now there's five on every team. So you have to wonder about the importance of hand and wrist. And I think the big point we're making, again, is the hand-wrist affects everywhere else above, doesn't it?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And there's that rush towards performance, right? So we get back to what we talked about originally. It's not just the gripping of a ball and the repetitive gripping of a ball to throw it or to say get strong in like hockey or baseball or football. It's this move towards getting the athlete in the gym and getting them fit for the rest of their body. It all requires repetitive gripping. And that's one of the areas that we have to add to athletes' fitness protocols is properly training the strength and the grip muscles to offset what they're doing.
Yes, that's a key term. That's a very important term,
repetitive grip. Yeah, repetitive gripping. Yeah, we use the term all the time.
Repetitive gripping. Yep. In a second, everybody realizes what you're talking about, which is, again, this whether he's whatever he's doing in the weight room, it's involved in one way or another. And all of a sudden, the importance of paying attention to just too much. And that type of education, I would imagine, again, that your profession leads the field, is adjustment, chiropractic attention and adjustment. Dr. Terry, also something that your profession pays attention to?
Yeah, I think that's where you get to the core of understanding this problem, is that chiropractic is always looking at how do we get the body back
function.
In balance. And,
right.
Yeah, function. But mostly with the spine, right? How do we keep the spine balanced and neutral and strong? And we're just taking those same ideas and applications to the fingers and thumb and hand and wrist and forearm. It's almost like a little spine of itself. The more you grip, is just like hunching and having bad posture. It's the same scenario. So we just look at how do we strengthen the muscles that open and spread and bring this area back into balance, just like strengthen the extensor muscles of the spine for good posture. Very, very similar concept. And that's, I think, why it was easy for me to recognize the problems when I saw them originally in golfers.
Yes, especially, again, the whole idea of alignment. Again, what we're talking about with my chiropractic friends, I've had probably 100 chiropractors on in 30, 40 years. And whether on podiatry, we were singing the foot bones connected to the ankle bones, connected to the knee bone, and they would be singing the back bones connected to the hip bone, up and down the chain of command, and understanding the importance of the extremities and the relationship. You know, it's a funny story. I was once talking about the foot ankle strengthening, the whole idea in the world of gymnastics. And how, you know, we're walking on our feet, we're spending so much time on our feet. And I was mentioning to them, and I said, we don't walk on our hands, but I forgot it was a gymnastics group. So all of a sudden they raised their hands, they said, hey, Doc, I got news for you. You know, we spend half our life walking on our hands, you know, with the vaulting and all of this type of activity. Again, as we're talking, and you mentioned hockey, you know, with the wrist shot, that whole idea, you would think that sport would really, really be paying big attention to what you're talking about.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And being Canadian, that's, Doc, that's probably one of the first things before I went onto the golf tour. That's what we worked with mostly was professional hockey players.
Yeah. I knew we'd run out of time with you, live radio. So I'm going to ask you quickly, Terry, give me again the best website for people to find out about you and your work.
Yeah, they can. Your viewers can go to, or your listeners can go to handmasterplus.com, or they can go to doczac.com, which is doczac.com. And if they have any questions for me, just info@doczac.com. And I'm happy to answer anybody's questions if they have
questions.
Fantastic.
Thanks so much, Dr. Terry Zachary. Hold on, Terry. We'll be right back, everybody.
Thanks for having me, Bob.
The station that makes you feel good.
It used to be hard to find the world's most wonderful alcohol-free drinks. Not anymore. Whether it's a health thing, a lifestyle thing, or you're trying new things, make sure you save yourself from the guessing game of the supermarket shelves and shop with zerozilchzip.co.uk for the world's most carefully curated range of alcohol-free beers, wines, spirits, and more. Health Radio listeners can save 5% with the code HEALTH5. Visit zerozilchzip.co.uk or click our banner on the UK Health Radio website. Discover alcohol freedom with Zero Zilch Zip. Because nothing's better.
The station that makes you feel good.
If you live in or near Aurora, Illinois, and you're into sports, fitness at any level, or your son and daughter is, you cannot forget about your feet. Your feet affect everywhere else. There are complex motions that come into play, especially in sports. Your ankles, knees, hips, and back all are affected with your foot mechanics. Come visit the office, Dr. Bob, and get evaluated. Check what shoes are best for you. I offer prescription orthotics, which is usually one of the major tools for treatment and prevention of foot-related ankle and leg problems. Also, enhancing performance. Step or two quicker. Call 630-898-3505 or go to sportsdoctorradio.com.
Hey, everybody, live from Chicago, we are back. It is the Sports Doctor is In segment, where we preview some upcoming guests, we answer some emails, we put some Bob Guida wisdom, and we're going to get right to that. A quick shout-out, my colleague Bruce Merrin, celebrating his 50th year as one of the PR superstars. I think his first client was Michael Landon. And Johnny Carson, he represented Elvis Presley. And in the sports world, his first was Jackie Robinson, Muhammad Ali, Bruce Merrin, CelebritySpeakers.com. Great guest coming up. Next week, we're going to have back RN, one of the coordinators for the LEAP program, Lower Extremity Amputation Prevention. Nurse Deborah Slider will be joining us, talking about the great work they're doing, putting together teams for diabetic screening, catching this stuff early, the whole world of the plague of diabetes. Following her, one of our fave guests, Mike McAleese, reflexology, massage therapy, the SOMAR School of Massage and Reflexology here in Downers Grove, Illinois. We'll be coming back the following week. We're going to hit figure skating. Annette Thomas, who is ballet and figure skating, is her writing and world of training and performance and strengthening, will be joining us, ballet for figure skaters. And then one of the top coaches in the world of figure skating, Amber Gill, will be coming back, let us know how her Chicago area stars did in these national championships. Bob Guida, you know, every athlete he saw, every patient he saw in rehabilitation, disability, high performance, he had them balance on one foot. And maybe do a partial squat. He was looking for their stability. He was paying big attention to the role of the foot, which is why we got married, like in 1977, whatever it was. The role of the foot in sports and alignment and stability. So many times we'll see, whether it's your son or daughter, whether it's yourself, paying attention to balance and stability. And the one-foot balance test is a great way to check, with or without shoes, for that knee caving in, the hips collapsing, body not being stable. And then understanding that paying attention to strengthening all of these areas, imagine yourself balancing on a mini trampoline. Imagine standing on the tilt boards, the BOSU, the sand dune stepper. We called it instability training. Create imbalance, get those stabilizers and stability muscles to really, really be strengthened. Single foot balance test, invaluable. Some emails. Gary says, you talk a lot about the mental game. I'm a sports doctor, and you're a sports podiatrist. Right, Gary, you're right. I've had sports psychology, psychiatry, mental training as part of the sports doctor for decades. Again, whether you're the best athlete in the world, whether you're their coach, whether you're their parents, the mental side has grown dramatically in importance. Mental health is one of the biggest topics we hear all over the world, wherever the guest is from, whatever their profession or vocation is. Again, whether you are trying to stick with your diet, whether you are trying to pay attention to getting into exercise, whether you are trying to be the best in your particular sport, or your son or daughter is achieving at high levels for a scholarship, et cetera, everything revolves around that mental attitude. The late Dr. Jim Vickery, the author of Mind Golf, Jim shared the radio show world with me in the 90s for, gosh, over 5 years. He lectured to so many different groups. He was Northwestern, White Sox, other teams, and he paid such a big point of saying that these systems can be trained. It's interesting, my first guest on the show today, Dr. Annie White, that's exactly what we were talking about. Jerry says, my 13-year-old daughter plays serious tennis. She's played since she was 10, 11 years old. She specializes. She plays 5 days a week. Her knees have been a problem on and off for a long time. I'll tell you, Jerry, if you've had, again, you want an orthopedic consult, make sure structurally there's no damage. Then you want to pay big attention to foot mechanics. Half the young girls I've seen in the world of tennis and figure skating are knee problems, and I'm a foot specialist. Foot mechanics has an awful lot to do with knee stress. When we're talking females, and they're going through puberty and her hips are widening and there's more of an angle down to the knee called the Q angle. So torque around the knee is increased. Orthotics are a big deal, especially if they're custom and done properly. So you want to get that opinion about whether she's hyperpronated or flat-footed, whether she's got high arches, what's the best shoe that she should be in, et cetera. And I'd be very, very optimistic. You want to pay attention. I don't care if she's got perfect feet. If she's got a history of knee trouble, orthotics help big time. And even though it's missed, because if the feet don't hurt, many times the feet aren't examined. Pay attention. Hillary says, my son's a cross-country runner. He's 15 years old. He's been plagued with shin splints on and off for a couple of seasons. First of all, Hillary, you got to get a diagnosis, like we mentioned. Shin splints is not a medical diagnosis. Could be tendonitis, could be muscle abuse, could be a stress fracture. So you want that diagnosis, and then you want to be paying big attention to the shoe that your son might be running in. You want to pay big attention to the physical therapy, the treatment that he might be receiving. And then I got news for you, 90-85% of chronic shin problems that inside of the lower leg are foot-related. That excessively pronated foot, and running increases that pronation because you have one foot right behind the other. So the collapse of the foot, the shin muscles are what really, really slow that down. Gets an opinion of podiatry, sports podiatry. And we ran out of time, and we will catch everybody next week. Always exciting stuff here on the Sports Doctor. Thanks, everybody.